All right, Rabosai, good evening. Let's begin. A good tavach, a gesunt zimmer. Hopefully everybody had a meaningful and uplifting fast, and let's begin. We're picking up. Today's daf is daf kuf. Thank you to Yehuda for giving yesterday's daf. Yashar koach. So we're going to begin last three words on Tzadik Tes Amud Beis on to Kuf Amud Aleph. So Amar Rav Mari Amar. So just again to remind ourselves, to reorient ourselves a little bit, we're focusing over here. We had two contradictory statements by Rav Shimon. One statement was that an onen can bring a carbon pesach, and one statement was that an onen cannot bring a carbon pesach. Those are the two contradictory statements, and we're trying to reconcile those particular statements. So we're going to see the Gemara is going to advance. The Gemara suggests that it's five answers. It's really going to be four answers, as we'll see. But let's begin. Rav Mari says as follows. Lo kasha. There's no contradiction in Rabbi Shimon's statements. Top of Kuf Amud Aleph 100a. Kan shemes lo meis biyod dalet v'kavro biyod dalet. Kan shemes lo meis biyod gimel v'kavro biyod dalet. We'll say two different cases. Rabbi Shimon is referring to two different cases. One case is where the person lost a relative on the 14th of Nisan. So the death took place on Erev Pesach and burial took place on Erev Pesach. And the other case is where the person died on Yud Gimel, the day before Erev Pesach, but burial was on Erev Pesach. What's the distinction between the two cases? Meis lo meis biyod dalet v'kavro biyod dalet. So if the person died on Yud Dalet and the kavura took place in Yud Dalet, then yom misa tofes leilo midoraisa. Then I will say, remember, again, we began to see this concept yesterday. Then we would say that yom misa, it's the day of death, also the aninos of the day of death also extends into the following night, midoraisa. So if we'll call him Ruvein, lost a relative on the 14th of Nisan, that's the yom misa. And again, Kvura was also done on that same day. So the Aninos will extend into the night, and therefore no Korban Pesach. On the flip side, Meis lo meis biyud gimel v'kavro biyud dalet. If, however, again, his loved one died on, what's coffee? Oh, sushi. I don't know, I don't do the menu. I just give the shir. You can see Ari for all.
Sushi is actually,
it's in the truck. Okay, good. I think we have something left over from the Kiddush on Shabbos. I'm sure we could defrost that, some sheet cake or something. So the Gemara says as follows: Meis lo meis biyod gimel, the kavura biyod dalet. If, however, again the person died on Yud Gimel and the kavura took place on Yud Dalet, then yom kavura midrabanan ino tofes leilo ela midrabanan. So both say ikra aninos is on the yom hamisa, not on the Yom HaKvura. So when you have Aninos, so the Yom HaMisa, so we say Midda Oraisa, Aninos is on that day and on the following night. So if the person died and was buried on Yud Dalet, then Aloch Lamaisa, in that situation, the individual will not bring the Karban Pesach because he is an Onein De Oraisa. Versus, if the relative died on the 13th, which means the Doraisa Aninos is on the 13th, Yom HaKvura, there's Aninos on the 14th, but it's only Midirabanon, and therefore, by definition, by extension, the nighttime is also only Midirabanon. And in that case, we are dealing with Aninos Dirabanon versus Echiv Karba Pesach Midoraisa. Obviously, the Doraisa Pesach will trump the Dirabanon of Aninos. Rav Ashi said to Rav Mari as follows. But one second, what about the fact that we have the following statement from Rav Shimon? Teida, shahare amru onen tovel v'ochel es pischo. But yet Rav Shimon said that the onen has the ability to go to the mikvah, he does tvila, and then he's able to eat his Pesach that night. Avalo bikachim. But this doesn't apply with other kabanos. Namely, kamina lecha ana yom misa daraisa. So again, why can't Rav Shimon simply respond? You're bringing me a kasha ultimately again from Yom Misa, which is Doraisa, and I'm responding to you with Yom Kavura, which is Dirabanan, and therefore the Gemara says kasha. So we'll say at the end of the day, Rav Mari's resolution of the contradictory statements of Rav Shimon ultimately does not work. On to the next one. Abayomer. So both again, remember, just keep your eye on the ball over here. What are we trying to accomplish? It's very simple. Rav Shimon made two contradictory statements. One time Rav Shimon says an onen does bring a Karban Pesach. One time Rav Shimon said an onen does not bring Karban Pesach. the fundamental shayla that we're trying to figure out, remember, is also what's the particular context of aninus? Which aninus are we talking about? So we have to keep track of multiple concepts unfolding at the same time. We've also now been introduced to aninus drabanan and aninus daraisa. Right? Remember again. So now with the way the Gemara is holding at this moment is that aninus daraisa ultimately again. That was fast. Mamish. So aninus daraisa ultimately again, I'll say, is only on the Yom HaMisa itself, versus aninus drabanan, which is the Yom HaKvura. So we're going to see those concepts are going to be contested as well. So Rabbi will say tries to advance a resolution. What does he say? Lokasha, kan shemes kodem chatzos, kan shemes la'achar chatzos. Very interesting. One statement of Rav Shimon is referring to where the death occurred before chatzos. One is after chatzos. And both say this piece is actually going to be exceptionally important when we get to the Rambam in the halacha l'maisa of this. What's the distinction? Kodem chatzos delo ichzi lepesa chayli ale aninos. This is fascinating, riveting. Right. So both say. So listen to this. If the loved one died before chatzos, then both say, what's the issue? That means aninos was chal before the obligation to bring Karban Pesach. Remember again, the obligation to bring Karban Pesach begins when? Chatzos, midday. So if we'll call him Reuven, if Reuven loses his close relative before Chatzos, that means he becomes an Onein before there's ever an obligation to go to bring the Karban Pesach. Well, in that case, then the Aninos will set aside the obligation to bring the Pesach. Kodim Chatzos to lo ichsila Pesach, chale Aninos. Before Chatzos, if the person dies, if the relative dies, so Aninos has the ability to devolve upon the individual, thereby setting aside his obligation to bring Pesach. Achar Chatzos, de ichsila Pesach, lo chale ale Aninos. This is actually quite interesting. After Chatzos, when there is already an obligation to what? After Chatzos, there is already an obligation of Karban Pesach. Once there's an obligation of Karban Pesach, it would appear that there cannot be a chalos shem aninos on the individual. Remember, I'm about to say, the backdrop to all of this is what? Not just simply that Karban Pesach is a chi of daraisa, but what else? That failure to bring Karban Pesach results in kares. So remember, that's what's driving this also. This is not just the mitzvah daraisa. This mitzvah daraisa was non-performance, bears kares. So good. So the Gemara says, "Uminat Seimra." The Shanilei, excuse me, being called him Chatzos, being Achar Chatzos. So where do you come up with this distinction before Chatzos and after Chatzos? If the relative dies before Chatzos, is not yet the din of Karban Pesach. Therefore, the aninus is chal on the individual. But if he dies after Chatzos, then there's already a chi of Karban Pesach, and therefore aninus is not chal on the individual. Where do you get that distinction? Disanya. Here we go. I'll say now. This Bryce is going to take us on a little bit of a journey, and we're going to see multiple interpretations of this one braisa. This sanya, lo yitama. So we'll say the pasuk says ula acho soha besula akrovai love hasher lo haisa leish lo yitama. So the Torah over here talking about the obligation of a kohen to become tame for his relatives, and amongst in this particular pasuk we're talking about his unmarried sister. So if a kohen has an unmarried sister, he is obligated or permitted, but he becomes tummy for her. He's permitted to become tummy for her. So says the Gemara, watch this. So the sanya, lo yitama mitzvah. So we'll say ultimately again, it is a mitzvah. We'll say mitzvah means what? Mitzvah means an obligation. So lo rotza mitamin osabal karcho, to the point that what we'll say, if the kohen has a sister who passed away, and again, he refuses to become tamei, what do we do? Mitamin osabal karcho. We force him to become tamei. So we will say, now, what that means, we're going to say on a simple level, is we paskin for him that he's doing the wrong thing, and in fact, it is his obligation ultimately again to become tamei. So Gemara tells a story. So one time there was this guy, Yosef HaKohen, and his wife passed away on Erev Pesach. And he did not want to go to the Levaya. He didn't want to become tummy for her. Rabbi said, now understand what this means. This is not like a cruel and indifferent statement. This was Yosef HaKohen understanding there were other people to take care of the burial. So therefore, again, he did not feel that he needed to become tummy ultimately for her burial needs because there were other people to take care of this. He figured, we could let my wife be buried with kavod, right? The family, whoever else is there, are going to be there to take care of it. And I'll be able to do the Karban Pesach. And what happened? V'nimnu echav ha-kohanim v'timu'u bal karcho. It wasn't amazing enough. His fellow kohanim ganged up on him. And they said, no, Yosef HaKohen, you're absolutely wrong. And they were metame him bal karcho. In other words, they forced him. They forced him to go to the Levaya and ultimately be metame for his wife. So the Gemara says, Ramin hi, raise a kasha. Ula'ach, so we'll say, so from this pasuk, from the La Yitama, What the Gemara seems to be learning out is what? Is that halacha lemaisa, not only does the kohen have a license to become tummy for his relatives, but what? He has an obligation. It's a tzivoy. It's an obligation to become tummy. Okay. Or mini. Now the Gemara is the kasha. Ula'achoso. So the pasuk says, so we'll say this is a different pasuk. Ula'avivu li'imo ula'achivu la'achoso. Lo yitama bahem b'mosam ki nezer elokav al rosho. So we'll say, so again, so the pasuk over here says that he does not become tummy ultimately again for his sister. So the Gemara says, la'achoso matam olomar, watch this. Hari shahalach lishchat es pischo v'lamol es b'no. If a person was going to shecht his korban Pesach, or he was going to give a son of bris milah v'shama shemes lomes, and he hears that a relative passed away, yochel yitame, you might have thought that he should go back, cancel what he's doing, and become tame for the relative. Amrit lo yitama. Therefore the pasuk says, no, you shouldn't become tame. Yochel kishim shlo yitma lachol, so kach im etam lomes mitzvah. I might have thought that the same way that he does not become tummy for his sister, he also doesn't become tummy for a meis mitzvah. Tambud lomar, ula achoso. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says for his sister, la achoso hu de'ino metame, ava metame hu la meis mitzvah. He doesn't become tummy for his sister, but he does become tummy for a meis mitzvah. So we'll say, what do you see? Lav shmamina kan kodim chatzos, kan la'achar chatzos. So we'll say it's also quite possible that there's another way to explain the discrepancy between the pesukim, that one is talking about before chatzos, one is talking about after chatzos, when the death occurs before chatzos, and therefore what? When the death occurs before chatzos, and therefore there is not yet an obligation of karban pesach, that is when ultimately the aninos is chal, and there's an obligation to become tamei. Masha'in kein, if it's already past chatzos, there's already an obligation to bring karban pesach. Maybe in that circumstance, he does not become tamei. To which the Gemara says, "Mimai, I don't know where you get that from." Dilma li olam emelacha idi v'idi achar chatzos. It's quite possible that both cases are dealing with a situation where what? The death occurred after chatzos. Now we'll say, now remember, so what does it mean if death occurred after chatzos? V'ha Rabbi Yishmael, v'ha Rabbi Akiva. And in fact, again, the Braisos just simply reflect two different opinions. This Sanya, here we go. Lo yitama. When the Pasuk says that he shall become tummy for his sister, lo yitama. So, I'm sorry, this Sanya, lo yitama. So we'll say, actually, this Pasuk is talking about over here. The Gemara is quoting over here. Right. So lo yitama, excuse me, same Pasuk as we spoke about before. Lo yitama. Rushus, divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Well, Rabbi Yishmael understands that lo yitama, in fact, is not an obligation, but rather it's a rushus. The Kohen has a license. The truth is also dealing with a nazir, but really with the Kohen over here. Kohen has a license, ultimately, again, to become tummy for his sister, but not an obligation. Rabbi Akiva omer chova. Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's an obligation. To which the Gemara says, lo sagadait chodereisha dahi Rabbi Akiva katonila. But the Gemara says, here's the problem. The problem is we already have Rabbi Akiva on record as being the author of the Reisha. This Sanya, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Nefesh Elu HaKrovim, Meis Elu HaRechokim. So we'll say the pasuk over here that the Gemara is focusing on is Kol Yimei Hezirah LaHashem Al Nefesh Meis Lo Yavo. So Rabbi Akiva dashes the pasuk as follows. Nefesh, that refers ultimately again to Krovim, to relatives. Meis, deceased Elu HaRechokim, non-relatives. Lo aviv, so ultimately again when it says to his first father, Eino mitami, ava mitami hu lemeis mitzvah. He doesn't become tummy for his father, but he will become tummy for a meis mitzvah. Liimo, what do we learn? I suppose we're just dissecting the pasuk according to Rabbi Akiva. Liimo, what do we learn from the phrase liimo for his mother? So it teaches us the following: Haya koin v'hu nazir. So we'll say if he's both a koin and a nazir, liimo hu de eino mitami. He will not become tummy for his mother, ava mitami hu lemeis mitzvah. But he will become tame ultimately for a meis mitzvah. Lo achiv, what does it mean when it says for his brothers? Shim haya kohen gadol or his brother. Shim haya kohen gadol v'hu nazir. If he's both a kohen gadol and a nazir, lo achiv hu de'eino metame. He will not become tame for his brother. Aval metame hu lemeis mitzvah. But he will become tame for a meis mitzvah. Well, remember again, this individual in question over here is both a kohen gadol as well as a nazir. Ula achoso and his sister. What is the pasuk coming to teach me? If he's going to shecht his Pesach to circumcise his son, and he hears that he has a relative who passed away, you might think he would become tamei. So amrit lo yitama. Ultimately, therefore, the pasuk says such an individual, the kohen gadol nazir, does not become tamei. Yachol kashem shein metami la'achoso. So you might have thought the same way that he doesn't become tummy for his sister, so too he doesn't become tami for a meis mitzvah. Tamu lomar ula achoso. Therefore, the pasuk says again, the exclusion is only for relatives, but at the end of the day, there's never an exclusion ultimately again for a meis mitzvah. So remember, in all cases, and this we already know, but in all cases, whether he's a kohen gadol, whether he's a kohen hedyot, whether he's a nazir, whether he's a kohen gadol nazir, although again, remember, the higher up you go on the chain, the more exclusions you have for the ability to become tamei for relatives. But one thing is clear, which is everyone has the license and in fact the obligation, not really license, wrong word, the obligation to become tamei for a meis mitzvah. Amud Beis. Rava Amar. So we'll say, so now again, remember, we're going back. So we're trying to figure out something very simple, but yet it's becoming exceptionally complicated. We're just trying to figure out, how do I reconcile the two different opinions or two different statements of Rabbi Shimon? One statement says that an Onei can bring Korban Pesach. One opinion says an Onei can't be bringing Korban Pesach. So we'll say now we're on our third option over here. Rava Amar, Rava says, Idi v'idi achar chatzos. Both of Rabbi Shimon's statements are talking about what? Where the relative died after chatzos. Okay. V'lo kasha. So we'll say, if that's the case, how is there not a contradiction between the statements? So listen to this. Kan kodem sheshachtu v'zarku alav. So we'll say, the Braisa says, Raisa, which says that he does not bring the Korban Pesach, is talking about a case where they have not yet shechted and done zrika on his behalf. Kan la'achar sheshachtu v'zarko alav. And the second case, I will say, where you say an Onein does bring a Korban Pesach, is where what? They already shechted and did zrika on his behalf. So look at Rashi for just a moment. Idi v'idi la'achar chatzos. V'afilu meis la'achar chatzos. So let's listen to this. Now this is different than the previous model. Because in the previous model, if the death occurred after chatzos, then what? Then what? Then he would bring Korban Pesach. Why? Because once the obligation for Pesach sets in, it doesn't allow aninos to devolve upon the individual. Rava argues on that. And Rava says no. Both cases are where the individual, the relative, died after chatzos. So wherein lies the distinction? So now look at that, Rashi. Idi v'idi la'achar chatzos. V'afilu meis la'achar chatzos, kodem sheshachtu alav, isley l'Rabbi Shimon lo yavi es pisko. T'rachmona dachye, k'didarish v'azos. So we'll listen to this. So the distinction is as follows. Both cases are where the relative died after chatzos. So where lies the distinction? So the shayla is, we'll say, is like this. He's part of a chabura. The assumption is, did they already shecht and do the zrik on his behalf? If that's the case, then what? Then he is permitted to go ahead and have the Korban Pesach that night. Masha'inkein, if Zrika, if Shechita and Zrika have not yet occurred, then Halacha L'maisa, he is not permitted to go ahead and partake of the Korban Pesach that evening. So the Gemara, so again, Kan Kodem Sheshachtu V'Zarku Alav, Kan La'achar Sheshachtu V'Zarku Alav. Amri Rav Adar Masna L'Rava, Achar Sheshachtu V'Zarku Az Damo Maida Hava Hava. Now we'll say, and remember again, this is fascinating, and we already know this. If there is one takeaway from all of Maseches Zvachin, Rabosai, one takeaway, it is that when is a Karban effective? After Zvika. So we'll say, now here's what's interesting, that the Gemara suggests as follows. I don't understand. If they already did Zvika, see, remember, the whole issue, the contradiction of Rabbi Shimon, is in whether or not an Onein is permitted to consume the Karban Pesach that night, the night of Pesach. But says the Gemara, says Rav Adar Bar Masna to Rava, I don't understand. If they already did the Zrika, or the Shechita and the Zrika, then what? Then what? Mm-hmm. On a technical level, we're done. In other words, suppose like, let's say somebody's, here is the test case. Let's say Reuven is part of a chabura. Baruch Hashem, no one's dying. Thank God. Everybody's healthy. Everybody's wonderful. He's part of a chabura. They shecht on his behalf. They do zrika on his behalf. And that night, mamish, he's sick in bed. Can't eat a piece of Korban Pesach. Does he have an obligation to bring Korban Pesach and Pesach Sheni? It's a 50-50. Right? No. There's no obligation of Korban Pesach Sheni. 50-50, he just chose the one 50. And it's good, it's alright. Right? So again, there is no obligation of Korban Pesach Sheni. Why? Even though, again, I want to point out, there is definitely an obligation to eat Korban Pesach. But if for some reason you were part of the Chabura, but then unable to eat the Pesach on the time on Pesach night at the Leil HaSeder, so you have still discharged your obligation. Again, I want to be clear. You don't have the right to decide, you know what, I'm not eating Korban Pesach. Yeah, if you can, you have an obligation. But if for some reason there's extenuating circumstances and you can't eat it, as long as you're part of a chabura at the time of Shechita and Zrika, You're good. So ask Shav Adar Master Tarava, I don't understand. If you're telling me that we're talking about a case over here where this guy already did, he was already part of a chabura that did shchita and zrika, so why are we getting into a discussion if he can eat at night or not? To a certain degree, that discussion is almost immaterial. Because what we're really trying to focus on over here is what's Yossi the mitzvah. If you're telling me that once they did shchita and zrika for him, he's part of the chabura, then I don't care even if you say he can't eat at night. It doesn't make a difference to me. He fulfilled the mitzvah. Oh, watch this. To which the Gemara says, Amar Ravina, Achilas Psachim Ma'akva Midra Barafrum. So we'll say this Gemara's like this are so exciting because Mamish is like a roller coaster, right? You never know where you're going to end up. Every single time we think we get to a resolution, another twist. The Gemara says, you're right, but there's an issue. The issue is Rabba Barafuna. Rabba Barafuna Bose says that Achilas Psachim Ma'akva. You see, I made it sound like no one disagrees with the statement we just made before, but it's not true. Rabbi Barafuna disagrees. He says it's not just enough to be part of the chabura for shchita and zrika. For shchita and zrika, yeah, excellent. You meant to say Rabbi Barafuna shchita, right? Good. So Rabbi Barafuna says not just enough to be part of a chabura for shchita and zrika, but rather again you have to eat the Karban Pesach, and if you don't eat it, you do not fulfill your obligation. To the point that Rabbi Barafuna says, if you don't eat Karban Pesach, then what? Then what? Then what? Pesach Sheni. Says the Gemara, Amrle, Sayis Mai Deka Amrlecha Rabcha. So he responded to him and said, you should listen to what your Rebbe is telling you. Meaning, in other words, what he just told you is correct. Mai Dra Barafuna. So we'll say, where do we see this Limur Ra Barafuna? This Sanya, here we go. So we'll say, this is actually quite interesting because the Gemara is going to go into a little bit over here, the Halachos of Avelos. So we're going to pick up a couple of very interesting Avelos Dinim as well. So the Gemara says like this. This I know. Yom Shmua, Kiyom Kivura Lemitzas Shiva Ushasha. So this thing is actually Halacha Lemaisa. Yom Shmua, if you look at Rashi, it's Rashi almost right across from Hagol Sabach. Rashi says, Yom Shmua, Sheshama Shemesla Ubishmua Krova, Shetoch Lamidas Kimbos. Remember from our Moed Cotton days? Remember Moed Cotton? Like yesterday. So remember again, there's something in our halacha called the Shmua Krova and the Shmua Rechoka. Shmua Krova means you hear about the death of a close relative within 30 days. That's Krova. Rechoka means after 30 days. So we'll say, so watch this. So the difference, so what's the difference between them? Yom Shmua, if you heard about the death of a loved one, and it's within 30 days of the passing of the loved one, then what? Kiyom Kvura, the Mitzas Shivu Shosh. So this is actually a very important halacha. If you hear about the death of a close relative within 30 days, even though what? You missed the Levaya, you missed the rest of the family sitting Shiva. If you heard within 30 days, what's the halacha? You sit Shiva and Shosh. We'll say, by the way, you know where this comes up? Just contemporarily. This comes up sometimes in situations where, let's say someone is very old, and they lost a relative, and you don't want to tell them about the loss now. Some point, I'm going to have to tell them. So the halacha actually creates the allowance to intentionally delay informing a person about the loss of a loved one in order that what? In order to avoid shiva and shosh. This is ma'aseh yom with people who are elderly and suffer loss. So we would tell them, day 31. After day 31, ultimately again, we're not going to go back to it now. There are certainly hugi avelos, more like momentary hugi avelos that apply, but there's no shiva, no shloshim after 30 days. Fine. So we'll say, but that's not our focus here. Here's our focus. Ulachilas psachim. Rabbos say, for the purpose of achilas psachim, in other words, if you hear about the death of a close relative within 30 days after the death, and it happens to be, let's say, eret Pesach, then what's the halacha? Kiyom likot atzamos. Then Rav Osei, we give you the status, ultimately again, as the day in which you collected the bones of your relative. Rav Osei, now what's this? So just understand, in Mishneik Eretz Yisrael burial practices, Rav Osei, if there's one thing about Eretz Yisrael that has always been true, it's that real estate is at a premium. Real estate is always at a premium. You know, if you look, by the way, at what they're doing now at Har HaMenuchos, with these multi-layered vaults, it's incredible. And it's not by choice. It's not by choice. Many cemeteries are still doing this now, where they're burying multiple people in the same grave. So what they do is, let me clarify that just for a moment. So what they do is, they dig the grave especially deep. They'll put the first person who passed away in. They put like the cinder blocks like they do in many of the cemeteries in Eretz Yisrael, and then they bury someone else on top of it. They usually sell it as family plots. So you can have sometimes three or four people buried in the same grave. The idea ultimately is it's an issue of real estate. So how do they deal with this in the time of the Mishnah? They had actually an incredible idea. Bosse, you know, you could see this if you have the schus to go to the kever of Shimon HaTzadik, right in East Yerushalayim. So right next to the grave of Shimon HaTzadik, there's a very interesting burial cave called the Cave of the Sanhedrin HaKatan. So what's the pshat? What do you mean, grave of the Sanhedrin HaKatan? They discovered a burial cave. The burial cave had 23 sets of remains. The number of the Sanhedrin HaKatan. They called it the Cave of the Sanhedrin. So say, what they used to do in biblical Eretz Yisrael? B'shek Eretz Yisrael. Person would die. They would put their body in a cave. They would let the body decompose. After that, they would collect the bones, and they would bury the bones in a family plot. Obviously, burying bones takes up a lot less space than burying an entire body. That day, when you went back for the bones, was called the day of Likut Atzamos. On the day when you collected the bones of a close relative, there were certain Nihugev, certain Avelos practices. Essentially, you had to sit like 5 minutes of Shiva. You know, you had to observe morning practices for a very short amount of time on that day. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Therefore, if you hear about the death of a close relative within 30 days, but let's say today we have to bring Karban Pesach. So, excuse me, for Karban Pesach purposes, it is like the day of Likut Atzamos. In other words, that it's only the Avelos practices that devolve upon you, or only the Avelos practices as if one would have collected the bones of a loved one that day. Look at Rashi. Ulachilas Psachim, Hainu Yom Shmua, Ki Yom Likut Atzamos. The Kamlom of Psachim Parakala, Isha Shomea Lamesum Lakit Atzamos, Tova Ba'ochel Ba'kachim La'erev. So both say, if you hear about the death of your loved one and you collect their bones, Shabbos say, ultimately you go to the mikvah and you can eat karbanos that evening. Shabbos says, how can you say that? If you're collecting bones, Shabbos say, then what? Bones also convey tumas meis. If that's the case, you need paraduma. How are you going to the mikvah and eating kachim that night? To which Rashi says, No, what's the case, Shabbos say? The case is where someone else did it. So ultimately, again, but even though someone else, the interesting part is I, as the close relative, have the obligation to observe some morning practices on the day of Likot Atzamos. And what's the Chiddush? Even if what? Even if I'm not the one actually doing the Likot. So we'll say, so amazingly enough, if a person hears about the death of a loved one within 30 days, so the Gabi carbon purposes, that day is like what? That day is like the day of Likot Atzamos. V'achilas psochem kiom Likot Atzamos. And for both of these cases, you can go to the mikvah and you can eat kachim at night. Here's the problem. Hagu fakasha. But say that statement is inherently contradictory. Why? Amrit yom shmuel kiom kavura lemitzas shiva ushloshim. So what you just said before, that when you hear shmuel krova, you hear about the death of a close relative within 30 days. So when you hear about it, that day is like the actual day of kavura for the purpose of shiva and shloshim, i.e. you have to sit shiva and you have to observe shloshim. But he said for Karban Pesach purposes, it's like the day in which the bones of a close relative were collected. First, why then Abbas Kufam the days? Michlal, the Yom Kvura, and Abbas said, the inference from that is that on the actual day of burial, Afilu Le'erev Navi Lo'ochel. So we'll say the inference from that is that on the actual day of burial, then what? That night you would not be permitted to partake of sacrificial items. The problem is Vahadratani, then the same Brisa says, contradicts itself and says, Echozev, Echozev, Tova Va'ochel B'Kachim Le'erev. The same Brisa we'll say says that for everything, Karba Pesach, other Kachim, all you need to do is what? Go to the mikvah and eat your karbanos that night. Amar Rav Chista tonight. Rav Chista says, it's not a contradiction, it's just a difference of opinion. Machlokes tanoim. Rabbi Rav Huna Amar lo kasha. So Rabbi Rav Huna says, ultimately, again, it's not a kasha. Kan sheshama shmua ameso samach l'shkia sachama. He says like this. So therefore, the Gemara suggests, Rav Chista suggests, in fact, it's just a difference of opinion. It's just a machlokes tanoim, ultimately, again, about what happens, what the status of karbanos is on the night after the kvura. So the Gemara says as follows. Rabbi Rav Huna Amar, lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. Kan sheshama shmua ameso samach l'shkia sachama. One is talking about where he heard about the death of his close relative right before shkia. V'chein sheliktu lo atzamos samach l'shkia sachama. Similarly, again, I'm going to say where likot atzamos occurred right before shkia. V'chein shemes lo meis ukavro samach l'shkia sachama. Or where literally he lost relative and the kvura took place right before shkia. V'kan la'achar shkia sachama. And the other case I'm going to say is talking about a situation where the death, the burial, or the likot atzamos took place after shkia sachama. So la'achar shkia sachama. But if it's after shkia, ma'idah hava hava. But understand, if it's after shkia, then by definition, again, we're already done with the process. Elishma mina, Achilas Pesach Matzah. So we'll say the assumption is if it's after Shkia, then what's already occurred? What's already occurred? Your Karba Pesach, right? Shchit and Zrika has already occurred. If that's the case, then you'll excuse me. I don't care if somebody, it sounds coarse, but it doesn't, halakhically, it doesn't impact me if somebody dies after Shkia, because I've already fulfilled my obligation of Karban Pesach through the Shchita and the Zrika. To which Rabbi said, this was a long journey to get to this final point. Rather, what do you see? Shmamina achilas psachim akva. Ultimately, and what do you see from here? That there's an opinion Rabbi said that holds, right? It's Rabbi Bar Avchana, Rabbi Bar Afuna, and Menachem Shonfeld, who both hold that what? That achilas psachim is ma'akev, right? That halacha lemaisa, again, it's not enough just to offer it, but you also have to go ahead and consume it. And failure to consume the Karban Pesach ultimately, again, results in non-fulfillment of your biblical obligation. Rav Ashi Amar, what does it mean, both this case and that case? As well as when the Braisa says, both this case, meaning Karban Pesach and other Kodshim, you go to the mikveh and you can eat it that night. What does that refer to? Hachi kamar, echad yom shmua, ve'echad yom likut, tovel va'ochel b'kodshim l'arvod. What it means, Rabbi say, is that both on the day of a shmua krova, as well as the day on likut at samas, you can go to the mikveh and you can eat kodshim that night. V'had ravashi bedusihi. But that statement of Ravashi, I will say, ultimately, is a mistake. This statement of Ravashi is false. So the Gemara says, Michti alokoi. Because I will say, that statement is referring to the statement that came before it. Ze vize mi boile. And if it was true what Ravashi said, I will say, then the way the Braisa should have read is ze vize, meaning that both statements are included in the previous clause. So the Gemara says, Elishmami nabadusihi. Rather, you have to understand that Ravashi's statement, in fact, is a mistake. Umay tanoi, tanoi, and I will say, what is the machlokis tanoi? Here we go. The sanya. Admasai misonin alav. So we'll say, here we go. So the Gemara says, at what point in time, how long does aninos extend for? And I will say, this is going to be actually a very important discussion. What is the duration of aninos? So we'll say, again, remember, aninos means the, here's what we know. Aninos is the period between death and burial. That's what we know. What are the variables? The variables are, I will say, is, does aninos extend to the next day? Let's say again, if death and burial occur on the same day, that's an easy case. Aninos begins at the moment of death and ends when? Ends when? So, but what the Gemara Masechet Moikatan calls the stimas hagolel. You know, when the grave is filled in the pile on top of the grave, aninos ends and avelos begins. That's our easy case. Where do the difficult cases come up? What happens if death, if Misa and Kavura on two different days? So we'll say, so the Shaila then is, does Aninos extend up until the Kavura? Does Aninos only apply that day? Does Aninos apply that day and that night? But as soon as that night is over, Aninos, so we'll say, those are all the variables. So here we go. Admasai misonin alav. So we'll say, this is very exciting. I mean, as exciting as Aninos gets, but this is exciting. Admasai misonin alav. So we'll say, the Gemara says as follows. Kalayom. So we'll say, first opinion says, the entire day. The entire day of death, so one is in a state of aninus. Meaning, when we say the entire day, meaning until the point of kvura. Obviously, if kvura occurs on that day, then aninus is capped at the time of kvura. But even if kvura doesn't occur that day, aninus only extends that particular day. Rabbi Omer calls manchilo nikbar. Rabbi says, no, aninus applies or extends until when, Rabbi Osai? As long as the individual has not been buried. He's not been buried. I'm asking, so what's the case? If you want to say that it's the actual, we're talking about the actual date of death. So we'll say again, remember, even if you say, see, doesn't everybody agree that halacha l'maisa aninus extends the day of the death, and at least midirabanan, aninus will extend into that night. V'su Rebbe Omer calls manchelo nikbar. So we'll say, furthermore, Rebbe says that as long as the individual has not yet been buried, so aninos is still there. So the Gemara says, hakavro ishtarile. Sounds like once there is burial, then by definition, aninos is complete. Umi ika delesle va'acharisa kiyomar. So we'll say, but here's the problem. We have this pasuk of va'acharisa kiyom mar. The pasuk ultimately from Amos. And I will say, what we learn from that, va'acharisa kiyomar seems to tell us, where the Gemara is darshining right now, I will say, is that even after burial, even after burial, there's a havamina, that's what? That the state of aninos should extend for that day, which I both say is a fascinating day. Now remember, I want to tell you where this does come up in a fascinating idea. So we know that during aninos, the halacha is that an avel is not permitted to put on tefillin. There's a big machlokes harishonim about what happens on the yom rishon of avelos after the levai. Let's say the levai is in the morning. Avol goes back to the Shivam. Does he put on tefillin on that day or not? So there's a big machlokes harishon about what to do in that particular situation. You should know, Rov poskim hold that he does not. Rov poskim hold that an Avol does not put on tefillin yom rishon, even though Aninus already concluded. Again, it's a machlokes, but part of that is rooted in this particular dynamic of almost like a chalos shem aninus on the day of death. So if the day of death also happens to be the day of burial, then by definition again, so the Gemara says, v'acharisa ki yomar means the way the Gemara is teaching that pasuk is, acharisa, even after the burial, ki yomar. The bitterness of the day extends, i.e. there's still some vestige of the aninos that's there. So the Gemara says, Amrav Sheshes, so ayom kvura kai. So ultimately, again, that's referring ultimately to the day of kvura. So maske Rav Yosef, elahadik tani, hashomea al meso, kimalaki tat, so hashomea al meso, if somebody hears a shmua about the death of his loved one, kimalaki tat samos, ultimately, again, he observes avelos like one who collected the remains of his relative, and therefore, tova v'ochel v'kachim la'erev. He goes to the mikvah, and he eats karbanos that night. Michlal, diyom kvura, afil erev nami la'ochel. Mostly now, what we can infer from that is what? Is that halacha l'maisa, that on the day of the kvura, you would not eat at all. In other words, on the day of the kvura, even after the kvura, ultimately one would not consume anything sacrificial. So Hamani, so we'll say, who does this refer, meaning, so whose opinion is this? Elataritz ad masai ma'onin in alav. So we'll say, rather, they have to read it as follows. Until when does aninos extend? Kol osa hayom v'leilo. So we'll say, when does aninos extend? The entire day of death, as well as what? The following night. Rabbi Omer calls Mashalo Nikbar. Rabbi says, no, ultimately Aninus only applies when? As long as burial has not occurred. Aval Nikbar below Leilo. We'll say, once burial occurs, then what? We're done. Right? We're done. Ultimately, that's it. The following night is not included. Amruk made Rabbi Yirmiyah. We're almost finished. Amruk made Rabbi Yirmiyah. So he says to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amar Gavar Rabbi Krav Yosef, Leima Hachi. So Rabbi Yirmiyah said, could it be that a great man like Rabbi Yosef would say such a thing like this? Lema de Rebbe Lakula. Are you going to tell me then that Rebbe is making over here by these halachas? Vatanya, but we learn. Ad masai mis onin alav. Until how long, for how long does aninos extend? Kozman she'eno nikbar. To which the first opinion says, Rebbe say, as long as the individual has not been buried, aninos extends. Afilo mikan va'ad asara yamim divrei Rebbe. Ooh, so we have a problem. Right? Because we just said Rebbe was the Mekla one. Now here's the problem, that Rebbe now is on record as saying that what? That the Aninos extends as long as Kavura has not happened, even if there's a 10-day wait, for some reason, between death and burial. The Chachamim say, Ein misonin alav ela osa hayom bilbad. And the Chachamim say, no, Aninos only applies that day. Ela taritz hachi. Rather, here's how you have to interpret it. Ad masai hu misonin alav. How long does Aninos extend for? Kol osa yom below leilo. So we'll say the first opinion will say that day, the day of death, but it does not include the night. Rabbi Omer, kol zman shelo nikbar. Rabbi says it applies as long as the individual has not yet been buried. Ve'im nikbar, but if he's been buried, tofes leilo. Then we'll say, interestingly enough, the following night will be included as well, midirabanon. Amrua kamei dirabba. So they said this before, they said this from the brother. Midika'omar Rebbe, yom kvura tofes leilo midirabanon. So if Rebbe's going to actually say, we'll say that the day of the kvura, so that day, which apparently again is the day of Aninos, and also includes the following night midirabanon, mechlal di yom misa tofes leilo midiraisa. So we'll say, if the yom kvura is, which the yom kvura, which the beginning of that day was the day of Aninos, and I tell me again the following night is also in the state of Aninos midirabanon, then Rabbi said, I would infer from that that what? That the Yom Misa also includes the following night in the state of Aninos, Midoraisa. The Sava Rebbe Aninos Laila Doraisa? Does Rebbe actually hold that nighttime Aninos is Doraisa? That can't be, and I'll tell you why, Vahatanya. We learned, Hein Hayom. Rabbi said, this pasuk, actually this, is going to be, I just want to tell you, coming attractions. Tomorrow is an incredible daf. There's actually even, there's some agarato in it. It's like one-stop shopping tomorrow. Yeah. Anything and everything you want from the Torah Kedosha can be found on Zvachim Daf Kuf Aleph. We're going to see beautiful Agarata, but it's really going to all be rooted in the story of the Yom Hashmini, of the inauguration day of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Mishkan, excuse me, the death of Nadav and Avihu, the burning of the Seir Rosh Chodesh, the Chatos, and the exchange between Moshe and Aaron. So Mamish, It's good. I'm just going to say it like that. It's good. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. Someone says, listen to this. So the Gemara says, could Rebbe really hold that Aninos Lailos Doraisa? Could he really hold that? After all, the Pasuk says, Hein Hayom Ani. So what's this? Putting over here by Daber Aaron Amosha. Hein Hayom Ikrivu. Right? Hein Hayom Ikrivu as Chatasam, Vesol Asam, Lefnei Hashem, Vetskrena Osi Ka'ila. So I'm not going to go into this, what this means right now, because we're going to focus on this more tomorrow. But the point of the passage is, Hein Hayom, Ani Hayom Aser V'Layla Mutar. What Aaron was telling Moshe, and again we'll further develop this tomorrow, is that Aaron was saying, when my sons died, I was in Aninos. But that status of Aninos only applied when? Hein Hayom, today, not tonight. Which I also shows you what? Ulodolos. Bein Bayom, Bein Balayla, Aser, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that was unique by Aaron. By Aaron, Aninus was only by day, not at night. Ledorei Doros, for future generations, Aninus will apply ultimately again by day and by night. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Omer, Aninus Laila, Eina Medivrei Torah, Ela Medivrei Sofrim. But Rabbi says that's what? It's not true. Rabbi says that Halacha L'Maisa, there is Aninus Laila, there's Aninus Yom, that's Doraisa. The day of death, Rabbi Osai, that day, the Aninus of that day is Doraisa. There is Aninus Laila, but what? What's the nature of that Aninus? Dirabanan. So we'll say the contradiction. Because Rebbe just said before that Aninus Laila, or the Gemara for Rebbe Shita, Aninus Laila is Doraisa. Rebbe is exclusively on record as saying what? Aninus Laila is Dirabanan. So which one is it? To which the Gemara says, so El Medivrei Sofrim, so which Gemara says, the Olam Dirabanani. You're right. In reality, Aninus Laila Rabosai is Midirabanan. Top of Kufalaf, and with this we'll stop. Actually, not, we're not going to stop yet. Vechachamim asu chizuk ledivreim yosem mishal Torah. And we'll say, even though Aninus Laila is quote unquote only dirabanan, nevertheless, we see this concept in other situations as well, that when Chazal legislate the halacha, ultimately, again, sometimes they make it even stronger than a Doraisa. So that when Rebbe said before that Aninus Laila is Doraisa, it wasn't a false statement. In other words, in this pure halachic construct, it is a dirabanan, not a Doraisa. But in terms of the intensity of the halacha and the severity of the halacha, it has the teeth of a d'oraisa. That's why Rebbe on one hand says it's a d'rabbanan, because that is true to its pure halacha construct, but he could also say it's a d'oraisa in terms of its intensity and severity. We'll just end off. So the shayla, remember again, I know I want you to be able to sleep tonight. You're not going to be able to sleep unless you know what. What do we do about Korban Pesach? So again, remember, again, we got sidetracked. And by the way, we're now Korban Pesach just kind of got left in the dust over here. So we're going to focus now on tomorrow's daf is all about Aaron and his sons, a beautiful and incredible Gemara. What about Korban Pesach, I will say? This, by the way, must have been a shy that came up each and every year when the Beis HaMikdash stood up. So you realize, like, what a schus it is. I must say Tisha B'Av, we're going to learn a sugya that's related to Korban Pesach, Mesech, Zvachim, all about Korbanos. We get to come into the Beis HaMikdash. I must say Tisha B'Av. So we'll say, so the shy is, what happens if a person suffers the loss of a close relative on Erev Pesach? Can he bring Korban Pesach or not? So listen to this. So this is the Halacha Maisa with this one. So this is the Rambam Hilchos Korban Pesach, Perek Vav Halacha Tes. Here we go. Ha'onein, ra'oi le'chol ha'pesach le'erev. An onein is permitted to eat a Pesach at night. So we'll say, so understand what that means just in its purest form. An onein means what? What's occurred?
Someone died.
What hasn't occurred?
Burial.
So that means again, someone's relative died on Erev Pesach. Burial couldn't occur. Remember again, that means he's not getting buried on the first day of Yom Tiv, right? Remember, Eretz Yisrael, so the very second day Yom Tiv, right? The very second truth is even the pure halacha is you could bury anyone second day Yom Tiv anyway, even in Chutz Laretz. Okay, so he's an onein. So the Gemara and Paskins, he can't pay Pesach. Now watch this. Why? Mipnei she aninos laila midivreihem. Because the Rebbe say again, we Paskin like Rebbe. There is Aninos Laila, meaning Aninos continues into the following night, but it's only midirabanan. And lo he midu divrei b'makom kares b'davarze el shoch din alav v'tovo v'acharkach ochel kedei sheyifrosh mi'aninos v'lo yasiach tayin. So let's listen to this. Everything's coalescing so beautifully. We Paskin that there is Aninos b'alayla. In other words, your Aninos status follows you not just on the day of death, but into the following night. But that status of Aninos is what? Is what? Is dirabanan. And the rabbis decided to lift their Aninos to where? By Korban Pesach. Why? Because Korban Pesach is not just a simple mitzvah saseh, but it's a mitzvah saseh whose non-performance carries with it kares. Therefore, what do? You go to the mikvah. Now, this is all assuming that what? Right? This is all assuming that he hasn't come in contact with the corpse. Obviously, he's come in contact with the corpse. Pesach Sheni. Assuming he hasn't come in contact with the corpse, he goes to the mikvah. Apparently, he's going to the mikvah ultimately again, into the Frezaninus, and he could eat Korban Pesach that night. Fine. Now, watch this. V'medra amurim, When is this true? Here we go, Basai. Got to hold cup on this a little bit. When is this true? Shemeis lo hameis achar chatzos. We accept the distinction of the Gemara. This is only true if the person died after chatzos. Why? Shekvar nischayev b'karban Pesach. Because they're both saying, if the relative died after chatzos, the individual, the onein, was already chayev in karban Pesach. Once you already had the chiyuv d'oraisa of karban Pesach, so aninos could set in to a certain degree. He does become an onein. So for example, he will be potter from other positive mitzvos. He will have to go to the mikvah. So there's a somewhat of a din of onein on him, but it doesn't get to fully devolve upon the individual. Avale meis lo hameis kodem chatzos. But we'll say, if the person lost his relative before chatzos, then what? Ein shochtin alav. We do not shecht for him. Ela. So also we accept this distinction. If the loss occurred after Chatzos, the obligation of Karban Pesach already came about, and therefore again, he goes ahead and he eats the Karban Pesach that night. If the loss occurred before Chatzos, then what? Then there was no opportunity ever for the obligation of Karban Pesach to devolve upon him, goes to Pesach Sheni. But once again, I'll say one last piece. Vim shachat alav v'zarko adam tovel v'ochel erer. Rabbi, listen to this. But see, listen to the following case. Let's say this guy was already part of a chabura. The Chabura didn't hear that his father passed away. So what did they do? They shechted and did zrik on his behalf, thinking that he was still part of the Chabura. So we'll say if that's the case, that his Chabura went ahead without him and they shechted Karan Pesach, he is permitted to partake of the Karan Pesach that night, even though what? The death occurred before Chatzos. One last case, then I'm going to let you go. Meis lo meis b'shlosha asar, v'kavru ba'avar asar. So now this is the other case in the Gemara. What happens if the death occurs on the 13th of Nisan, but kvura occurred on Erev Pesach? So what's the halacha? So I'll say, that's an easy one. Harehu biyom kvura onin midivrehem. But I'll say, that's easy. Because at most, the yom kvura only has a din of aninus midirabanon. Ve'eno tofes de'lo midivrehem. And I'll say, that aninus certainly does not bring in the following night. Lefichach, shochtin alav, v'tova v'ocha le'erev, af bishar kodshim. Ultimately, again, I'll say, therefore, again, he would be able to go to the mikvah, and that night, not only eat Karan Pesach, but I'll say, also be able to eat other karbanos as well. We should be zocha. That Amir Tashem and the schus of coming out on a Masay Tisha B'Av, learning Maseches Zvachim, learning about their Karbanos, learning about the halachos of Karan Pesach, seeing the interface between the halachos of Avelos and the halachos of Karbanos. What an incredible metaphor for us. We're coming off the heels of Hilchos Avelos. We're coming into Karban Pesach. So what does the Rambam Paskin? The Rambam Paskins, again, that as long as it's Avelos D'Rabbanon, then ultimately, again, you could have the Kachim at night. This year, Tisha B'Av, but Tisha B'Av is always the D'Rabbanon. This year it was even a weaker Derabbanon, right? It was a Nitcha fast. So we're coming in Yeretz Hashem into the night of Masay Tisha B'Av, to our Karban Pesach, to our Zvachim, to our Karbanos, ultimately again with even a weaker form of Avelos, and Havalai, we should be Zvachim, Yeretz Hashem, to enter into our Beis HaMikdash, to eat our Zvachim and our Psachim, B'Sha Tova U'Mezachos. 5:45 tomorrow, Kiddush, I don't know if there's Zera Levana outside. We'll check. If anyone didn't do Kiddush Levana,
I think it was for me. You look like you enjoyed that. Perfect design.